Now will fire for three. She can't get it. Rebound. Brown doubled down in the backcourt, and now they've got a 4-on-2 break. Viegas down low, an easy lay-in for Amber Rollins. 58-52, six-point game. Under a minute to go in the third. Gutierrez comes across the timeline now, slowing it down for Simpson. Gutierrez steps back with a dribble. Out to Shayla Smothers. Smothers. Looks back door, now finds Gutierrez on the right angle. Down to 10. Gutierrez, baseline drive, goes up, draws the contact, and we'll get to the free throw line. And that will get Gutierrez back to the line. 34 seconds left to go here in the third quarter. So Gutierrez will shoot a pair. And she's gotten to the line already 10 times tonight. Her first one is good. And 58-53, 34 seconds remaining here in the third. The second free throw is also good. So Gutierrez, 9 of 12 from the line tonight, has 25 points. 50-50-50. Simpson outscored the Eagles big time in that third quarter. And Simpson will play defense to start the fourth quarter. Dana Ruiz, Haley Villegas, Cameron Brown, Bethany Wolf, and Amber Rollins for Embry Riddles. They have the ball to start the fourth quarter up by four. Villegas with the ball in her left hand, dribbling it. Now dribble hands off to Ruiz. Ruiz now holding out to Bethany Wolf. Stutter step back to Villegas in the left angle. Shot clock down to 14. Villegas out to Ruiz. Good look for three. Got it. Dana Ruiz, CalPAC Player of the Year. With the bucket, she only has 8 points in this game, but a big three there, 61-54. Gutierrez spins inside, goes up, tough shot, no, falls loose, comes to Rollins. Estella doing a little too much on that possession. Rollins brings it across midcourt, now to Bethany Wolf. Wolf with the pump fake, the sharpshooter now puts it on the floor. Looks inside, the pick and roll, Rollins is fouled. No, it's going to be a block. Oh my goodness, how is that not a foul? I don't know. But it's going to be Ember Riddle ball on the baseline with 18 on the shot clock. Madison Cox back in. Allie Romelli back in for Simpson as the Redhawks return to their starting group. I mentioned it earlier, but no Lexi Thompson tonight, out with a back injury. Feeds into Jenna Knudsen. Knudsen at the top of the arc. Puts it on the floor to the right side. Now gets inside to Cameron Brown. Brown gets it knocked away, but comes to Villegas. Villegas, 7 seconds. Villegas bumped and is fouled. It'll get to the line. So Villegas will shoot a pair. The foul will be on Gutierrez on the personal. Her third foul on Estella, who's got 25 points. And it's hard to argue with Gutierrez's attacking because she's been so successful tonight. First free throw, no good from Villegas. With 9 minutes remaining, is she knocks down number two, 62-54. 9 minutes remaining. Gutierrez waiting. Gutierrez comes off the pick with her right. Goes behind the back with the dribble. Now accelerates. Out to Shayla Smothers in three-point range to Whitney Armstrong. And a foul away from the ball is going to be on Amber Rollins. Rollins and Cox fighting for position down low. So Simpson will get on the baseline with a new shot clock. Cox. Lob pass into Estella Gutierrez, who has to bring it in like a tight end. Now Gutierrez off a pick to her right, and a whistle and a foul on Jenna Knudsen, trying to fight through the screen. Wow. Knudsen picks up her second. 62-54. The crowd on the other side of the floor not happy with the call. Gutierrez now holding and waiting. Comes off a pick to her left. Feeds to Shayla Smothers. Smothers thought about it. Puts on the floor. Feeds to the baseline. Now to Romelli. Gets it back to Smothers. Looks in the paint to Madison Cox. But an offensive foul. Amber Rollins takes a charge on the pass attempt from Smothers. And that's the third foul on Smothers. So Smothers with three. Cox with three. 62-54. They bring it up down to Dana Ruiz. Ruiz splits a double team and hands the baseline. Rollins cut off by Madison Cox. Back out to Ruiz. 8:15 to go. Backdoor feed. Knudsen. Knudsen goes up. Tough shot. No rebound. Madison Cox. Cox the center brings it up for Simpson. And now we'll hand it to Estella Gutierrez. Redhawks would like a bucket here. Gutierrez with a stutter step. Now holding up top with a dribble. Feeds to Shayla Smothers. Smothers puts it on the floor with the left hand. Picks it up, now hands it to Whitney Armstrong. Shot clock down to 15. Armstrong to Romelli. Down to 10. Romelli, baseline. Smothers puts it on the floor. Stops. Back out to Romelli. Left angle, three. No rebound. It comes to Brown for Embry-Riddle. 62-54. Here comes Knudsen. Knudsen inside. Lob pass out to Rollins. Left angle, triple. No rebound. Madison Cox. And a foul is on Rollins. And it's the third team foul on Amber Riddle. They're calling it tight in this fourth quarter.
Coach Trio has one. Coach walks back down the floor. Not a shooting foul. Third team foul.
Foul is on Rollins, her third, and Simpson, whose defense is starting to lock down here in the fourth. 62-54. Inbound at Madison. Cox gets it knocked away and a turnover. Here comes Villegas. Villegas lost it in a foul. Wow. Fourth personal foul on Madison Cox. So she'll come out. Casamore Villa will come back in with the fourth personal. 7:20 remaining and an 8-point game. Both teams have kind of, their offenses have come to a halt here in the fourth. Here is Villegas, picked up by Ali Romelli. Right side now to Rollins. Rollins, the left-hand drive, pass is deflected and a steal. Rollins wanted a foul call, didn't get it. Here comes Gutierrez up the floor. Gutierrez accelerates, gets into the paint, lays it up, no. Offense rebound, smothers, dumps back out to Armstrong, and a steal for Villegas. Good defense there from Ember Riddle. Here comes Ruiz. Ruiz, cut off, now picks it up, hands to Villegas. 7 minutes to go. Villegas, stutter step, picks up her dribble back to Ruiz. Ruiz comes off a pick. Looks down low. Rollins, or Brown, shot is blocked, but a foul, and that will get Cameron Brown to the free throw line. Brown so far tonight, 6 points, 8 rebounds. She'll head back to the free throw line. Ember Riddle tonight, 12 of 17 from the stripe. Simpson, 10 of 14. Ember Riddle has now doubled Simpson's rebounding totals. The first free throw is good from Brown. Only two players in double figures for Ember Riddle. Simpson's Gutierrez with 25 leads all scorers. Trying to make it a 10-point game here with the second throw. It is good. 64-54. Simpson tied it in the third quarter, and now Ember Riddle has extended their lead back to 64-54 with 6:45 remaining in the fourth. Gutierrez trying to create. Now Halton. I don't know why Simpson is waiting to take time here. Gutierrez hands to Romelli. Romelli with the left-hand dribble now spins baseline. Little up and under floater. No, he's too strong. Rebound comes to Rollins. Rollins now to Knudsen. Knudsen brings it up. Nobody picks her up. Now she accelerates, gets into the paint on the baseline drive. Little turnaround off the glass is good. Lazy defense there from Gutierrez. 66-54. And timeout, Derek Pringle Jr. He takes the timeout, and we will take a break here on Simpson Sports Network. The Redhawks trail by 10 here on KCNR 1460 96.5 FM.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
This is Simpson University Director of Athletics Tom Galbraith, and you are listening to KCNR 1460 and Red Hawk Basketball. Now back to the action with Connor Sutton.
12-point game, 66-54. Ember Riddle in this fourth quarter has come back to life after struggling in the third, after being outscored by six. We'll see if Simpson has enough firepower to get back into this game. They trail by 12. Simpson ball out of the timeout. Casamort via Estella Gutierrez, who looks worn out. Armstrong, Smothers, and Romelli. Gutierrez out to Smothers in three-point range. Puts it on the floor, picks up her dribble, and out of Armstrong. Armstrong is at a hot hand. We'd like to see her get a little more involved. Looks down low, finds Smothers, passes deflected out of bounds. It's going to be Simpson ball with 7 on the shot clock. So Simpson will have it on the baseline with 7 on the shot clock here. 5:54 remaining. Armstrong will be the player to put it in play for Simpson. She feeds into Smothers, now gets it right back to Armstrong. Armstrong step back, tough jumper is fouled. And we'll get to the free throw line on the jumper. Foul is on Dana Ruiz, her second. It is the fourth team foul on Ember Riddle. So Simpson will be at the line the rest of this game. On a night where they have been struggling to get the ball into the paint, a couple of free throws down the stretch could benefit Simpson. The first free throw is good. 66-55. 51 rebounds for Ender Riddle, 27 for Simpson. Madison Cox will return with four fouls. 25 offensive rebounds for Ember Riddle. So Armstrong, second free throw is no good. Rebound, and now the ball's loose. It comes to Armstrong, who kind of caught it with her feet, and a jump ball. Wow, it's going to be Simpson basketball. How is there not a whistle blown there? So the shot clock will reset, and Simpson will get it on the baseline. 11-point game. Inbound to Shayla Smothers. Smothers now hands to Gutierrez, who's going to have to create. Gutierrez off a pick, now off a second one. Steps back with a dribble, crosses back over inside. Lob pass, Cox. Cox makes the catch, swings to the corner. Romelli an open three. No, rebound on Madison Cox. Second chance for Simpson. Armstrong, baseline. Smothers goes up, draws the contact, missed it. Gets it back. Turn around and blocked by Brown. The low attempt from Smothers is blocked. Here comes Knudsen. Dribble handoff, Villegas. Steps back on the dribble. They lead by 11. 5:10 remaining. Villegas dribble drive. Gets inside. Tough shot. No. Rebound, Gutierrez. Just a little too strong. Gutierrez has got to bring it up faster than this. You're down 11 with 5 minutes to go. Enters to Madison Cox. Knocked away. Turnover. Ruiz with another steal. Three on two. Ruiz. Ruiz to Rollins. Gets into the paint. A blocking foul. It's going to be the fifth on Madison Cox. That'll get Matt or Rollins to the line. So that will get Rollins to the line. It's the fifth foul on Madison Cox. And this could be the end of her career. The all-conference first teamer getting a nice ovation from the bench in the Simpson crowd. So Rollins will shoot two. So Precious Jackson will come in for Cox. Valentino back in as well for Ember Riddle. She's going to come in for Jenna Knudsen. So Rollins will shoot two here, and Simpson's offense has come to a screeching halt here in the fourth quarter. They've only scored 1 point on a Whitney Armstrong free throw in 5 minutes. First one is good from Knudsen. 67-55. Knudsen's got, or check that, Brown has 9 points and 10 rebounds. Rollins now with 6 points. 13-point game. Under five to play. Gutierrez again taking too long to get to their offense. Lob pass out to Smothers for three. No. Rebound. Jackson trying to come away with it. It's knocked out of bounds. It'll be Simpson ball. Wow. That should have been Eagles ball without a doubt. However, it'll be Simpson basketball. 13-point game. Simpson going to need to make plays and make them quickly. Gutierrez now makes the catch. Again, pausing. Got to make a move here. Crossing over, lost the handle on it. Now reaccelerates. Double goes up, and she traveled first. Haley Villegas has been right on her all night. Despite the 25 points from Gutierrez, here in the fourth quarter, she has been held at bay. 4:30 to go. Valentino now to Villegas. Villegas, spin dribble, gets to the middle of the floor, and now will create space. 4:20 to go in the fourth. Villegas, dribble drive, right inside, floater, missed it. Jackson with the rebound. And Gutierrez has to push the floor. Gutierrez with a jog, brings it up to the far sideline, now waiting. Gutierrez crossing over. Gutierrez pump fake. Looks down low. Bad pass. Turnover. And Gutierrez just looks worn out. Lob pass. Brown blocked by Gutierrez and she gets it back. 4 minutes remaining. Gets it knocked away. Out of bounds. It's going to be Ember Riddle ball. And that might just do it. Bethany Wolf back in for Embry-Riddle. 68-55. Under 4 minutes to go. Embry-Riddle with it on the baseline. Trying to advance to the CalPAC Championships. Brown, turnaround, half-hook, missed it. Gets her own offensive rebound and lays it in. That is just way too easy. They lead by 15. That equals their largest lead of the night. Simpson tied it in the third. And now Gutierrez will try for three. She does hit it. Wow. Tough shot attempt, though. 70-58. 28 points for Gutierrez after 14 in the third quarter. 12-point game. 3:20 to go. Malentino feeds to the right side. Dana Ruiz, she tries to answer for three. No. Ali Romelli, rebound. It's a loose ball. Foul will be on Embry-Riddle. And the Eagles are shooting the ball awfully quickly into the shot clock here, despite being up 12 with 3:15 to go. So that will get Ali Romelli to the free throw line to cut it back to 10. Romelli with her first trip to the free throw line. She struggled this evening. 1 of 6 from the floor, 0 of 4 from downtown. First free throw is good. Substitutions for Trujillo in his club is Knutson in and Rollins out. Melissa Pfeiffer also in and Dana Ruiz out. Romelli trying to cut it back to 10. And it's good. So 70-60, Romelli, Al Blanca, Casamore in, 3:15 to go. Now Natalie Campos is going to come in as Smothers comes out. And Simpson now going to their smallest lineup of the night with lots of shooting. 10-point game, 3:15 to go. They look to get it in. They do to Knudsen. Knudsen with a pass fake. Gutierrez on her. Knudsen brings it across. Dribble handoff now to Bethany Wolf. They will use some clock here. Brown faces up on Precious Jackson. And a loose ball foul away from the ball is going to be on Blanca Casamore. And that's going to get Bethany Wolf to the free throw line. Fourth foul on Casamore via. Bethany Wolf will shoot a pair here. Both teams in the bonus the rest of the way. First free throw is good from Bethany Wolf. Wolf with her first free throw of the night. She now has 3 points on the evening. 0 of 2 from beyond the arc. The second free throw rattles around and falls through, 72-60. 3 minutes remaining. Simpson trails by 12. Got to make a play here quickly. Blanca Casamore over here on the left angle. She'll try for three, but a travel first. Right in front of Coach Pringle, and he's not happy with the call. The shot did not go down anyway. Smothers in, Jackson out. Melissa Pfeiffer feeds it into Jenna Knudsen, who brings it across. Now for Embry-Riddle. Knudsen, dribble handoff to Wolf. Straight away to Pfeiffer. Simpson putting on good pressure here. Wolf step back with a dribble. Skip pass out to Malentino. Picked up by Gutierrez. Malentino accelerates. Gets inside. Shot is blocked. Wow, no whistle. Offensive rebound. Back out. Wolf for three. No. Smothers trying to come away with it. It comes to Embry-Riddle and another offensive rebound. The ball is deflected out of bounds off Simpson. And it will be Embry-Riddle basketball. New shot clock for Embry-Riddle. It is their 26th offensive rebound on the night. 12-point game, and now a foul is going to be on Gutierrez. And Gutierrez is going to be careful. She's going to pick up a technical here. Four fouls on Gutierrez. Malentino will head back to the stripe. Malentino, the leading scorer, or was the leading scorer, and has gotten to the line 9 times. She's 5 of 9, and she'll get back to the line yet again. The first free throw is no good. Coming here for 72-60. Second free throw is good. 73-60. 2:25 to go. Gutierrez races into the front court for Simpson. Down by 13. Got to make a play. Got to make it quickly. Gutierrez inside. Little floater. Short. Rebound. She had Natalie Campos wide open for three. But instead to take the floater, but missed. Knudsen now brings it across the timeline. Accelerates. And now we'll let some time tick off the clock. Knudsen hands to Bethany Wolf, who will try from way downtown. No rebound to Smothers. Under two to play here in the fourth. Down 13. Gutierrez. Crossover with a dribble. Open for three. Will try and knocks it down. Timeout, Coach Pringle. Estella Gutierrez has 31 points. Timeout, Derek Pringle. I believe it's going to be a 30-second timeout. It will. 1:47 to go here in the fourth with 10-point game. Gutierrez on the night. She is 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, and it's been an impressive performance scoring the basketball. It does have 4 assists and 5 rebounds. But Simpson just being outplayed most of the other small stats. Bench scoring, plus 16 for Ember Riddle. Points in the paint, plus 6. Points off turnovers, plus 11. And, of course, the rebounding, huge advantage for Ember Riddle. It says only 7 check and chance points. That's got to be way off because of over 25 offensive rebounds for Ember Riddle in this game. They have a plus 23 advantage on the glass. Wow. And that's going to be the thing that is going to be pointed to after this game for Coach Pringle and company. 10-point game. Simpson needs a little bit of a miracle. They need to do it by getting some turnovers. Haley Villegas brings it across now for Embry Riddle, picked up by Gutierrez. Villegas to the right side. Malentino digs into the paint. She is fouled and will get to the line. Hey, Embry Riddle not wanting to take any time off the clock. They're going right back to the free throw line again. Malentino was just 1 of 2 a moment ago, 6 of 11 for the game. It's the fifth foul on Blanca Casamort. And the her fifth, Romelli will come back in. The junior out of Spain, done for tonight, possibly for the season. Malentino knocks down the first free throw.
Lead it by 11 again, 1:35 left to go. Again, you don't really
74-63, second one is good. 75-63. 12-point game, minute 30 to go here in the fourth. Simpson's going to have to score and score quickly. Campos, stutter step, steps back, left angle, triple on the way, got it. Second triple of the game for Campos. Now they got to get back on defense, get up on defense. They throw up the sideline. Knudsen races up the floor to Brown. Brown pump fake, foul from behind on Gutierrez, and that'll be her fifth. That'll do it for Estella Gutierrez, the one-year transfer. And that is the fifth, and she is done. And that might be it for Estella Gutierrez's one-year career at Simpson. She will finish as the game's leading scorer unless something drastic happens. Just above, over, had 16 in the third and had 28 points to finish with the contest. So that will send Cameron Brown to the free throw line in a 9-point game. Not out just yet, especially if Ember Riddle keeps taking quick shots. However, Simpson is fouling them on those, and they're getting to the line pretty easily. Brown, the first free throw is short off the front of the iron. Brown tonight, 8 points, 11 rebounds, 12 or 10 points, 10 rebounds, as the stats have just updated for me. Second one is good. Back to 10, 76-66. Allie Romelli will be running the point the rest of the way for Simpson. Romelli doubled. Romelli inside, looks inside to Smothers and is fouled. And we'll get to the free throw line. Coming up after this game, we'll talk about this one. And we will maybe touch a little bit on tomorrow night's game against, for the men's team in the semifinals, taking on Ember Riddle as well. Allie Romelli will shoot a pair, trying to cut it to 8. First one is good. Romelli tonight, 5 points, two rebounds, the CalPAC newcomer of the year this season. The junior has a year left in eligibility. Second free throw is also good. 76-68. Simpson now going to put on a press yet again. Feeds into Villegas. Villegas tries to go up the sideline, and Romelli will stay right on her. 1 minute to go. 8 point game. Villegas dribble handoff to Knutson on the right angle. Jabs left, goes right. Cut off out to Villegas. Letting the clock wind. Down to 10. Villegas. Villegas inside. Lob pass, turnover. Here comes Campos up the floor for Simpson. Campos behind the back of the dribble. She lost it. Turnover. And now Villegas can run out the clock. And now Simpson will foul. And that will pretty much do it. A steal that gave Simpson a chance, but Campos trying to do too much at midcourt. Turns it over. And Villegas will go to the line and try and ice this game, essentially. Trying to push it back to 10. First one is good. 77-68. 33.4 to go. Simpson is out of timeouts. Second one also good. 78-68. She'll come out. Rollins will come in. So an impressive 18-win season for Simpson. Going to come to a close tonight. Armstrong out to Campos. Stutter step at three-point range again for three. This is good. Oh, my goodness. Campos with her third triple. Feeds into Rollins, and they're going to foul her quickly. Maybe not out just yet. 78-71. Still a long way to go for Simpson to come back. So Rollins will shoot a pair. First free throw is good for Amber Rollins. She's 3 of 3 from the stripe tonight. On the stats, it shows she has 5 fouls. Obviously, it's not the case. Just with 4. Second one also good. 80-71. 24 seconds to go. Lob pass, Romelli. Romelli in three-point range. Back to Armstrong. Double teamed. Gets into the paint. Tough jumper on the way. Short. Rebound to Valentino. Nuts in now and is fouled. 12 seconds remaining, and that, in fact, will do it. So Simpson will finish the season. Derek Pringle's best season as their head coach with 18 wins, but it comes to a close here in the semifinals yet again. The first free throw is good. And 9-4 conference record, or 9-5 conference record, 18-11 before tonight, 18-12 after the loss. A pretty impressive season. Second free throw, no good. 81-71, 11 seconds to go. Romelli in three-point range, looking for Campos. Down to 5. Romelli spins 3 seconds, threw it away, and Rollins with a turnover, and that will do it. Amber Riddle will advance to the CalPAC Championships and will play Monday night either against Antelope Valley or against UC Merced, and the 2 and 3 seeds will play following this game. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk about this one. As the Redhawks are eliminated from CalPAC contention, 81-71 and a 10-point loss. We'll take a break. We'll be back here on Simpson Sports Network.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
Hi, this is Connor Sutton. Please join me for Sports Talk with Connor Sutton on Wednesday afternoons from 6 to 7 p.m. as we discuss all the latest sports news and possible betting options around the world of sports. I will also bring on some local sports experts to give us a taste on the life of college and prep sports athletes and coaches. So tune in Wednesdays at 6 to 7 p.m. for Sports Talk with Connor Sutton, the only local sports show in Reading.
February 22, 1982, Joe Martino opened Orchard Nutrition Center with a simple philosophy: to be able to have the choices available for a completely healthy lifestyle. And to this day, Joe and the entire Orchard Nutrition Center family have kept that promise for 37 years. Orchard Nutrition Center in the Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
This is Simpson University Director of Athletics, Tom Galbraith, and you are listening to KCNR 1460 and Red Hawk Basketball. Now back to the action with Connor Sutton.
So the Red Hawks are eliminated from postseason play with the winner-go-home loss to Embry-Riddle, a 10-point loss. The Red Hawks, however, a very, very good season for Simpson after really struggling a year ago, an 18-12 year for Simpson, making the four seed in the CalPAC tournament, obviously losing to this very tough Embry-Riddle team, receiving votes in the national poll. Has only lost four games all season long, two of them in conference. Unfortunately, the Red Hawks will have to say goodbye to a number of seniors: Shayla Smothers, Olivia Edwards, Estella Gutierrez, and I'm missing one here. Mariah Mendez Oliver for the Red Hawks as we finish what was, like I mentioned, a close game. Simpson trailed by 15 in the first half. They cut it to 10 at the break and then tied it in the third. But Embry-Riddle in the fourth quarter was just too much, and Simpson only scored 9 points in that fourth quarter. Leading scorer tonight, Estella Gutierrez, 31 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. She fouled out. Madison Cox, another senior Simpson has to say goodbye to, also fouled out. Natalie Campos had 9 points off the bench. Alex Cooper, 4 points. Whitney Armstrong with 9. Casamore Villa with 4. Shayla Smothers with 4. And Allie Romelli with 4. Another good year for Coach Derek Pringle in his 11th year. However, Simpson will have to get geared up for next season. But tomorrow night, the men's team taking on this Embry-Riddle club in the 2-3 matchup in the conference at 7:30 here in Lancaster, California. I will be on the call for that semifinal contest as Simpson will look to play and advance to the CalPAC Championships on Tuesday. We thank you for joining us throughout tonight. Once again, the Red Hawks eliminated from the CalPAC Championships and fall to Embry-Riddle, the number one team in the conference, by 10, 75-65 here from Lancaster. For our producer back in the studio, Jared King, I'm Connor Sutton saying so long. Have a wonderful rest of your Saturday night, and we'll see you tomorrow night at 7:30 for the men's game. This has been Simpson Sports Network on KCNR 1460, 96.5 FM.
Cigar Dave will return to the mic. The Cigar Dave Show resumes in 5, 4, 3, 2. Surgeon General's warning. Listening to Cigar Dave talk about the FUDA will cause you anger, and you'll want to overthrow the career bureaucrats. Long live the Alpha.
Those of you that are members of the Cigar Dave Officers Club, good news. Your February 2019 selection featuring the Herrera Esteli Brazilian Maduro has shipped. Drew Estate Master Blender Willie Herrera, who I've known for a long time, going back to the El Titan de Bronze days down in Little Havana, always been a big fan of the Brazilian Matafina tobacco. It just has a nice taste, a nice texture to it. It's mostly been used as a binder or accent filler at Drew Estate, but Willie flipped the script. He said, I'm going to make the Brazilian Matafina tobacco the star of the show. I'm going to make it the wrapper, and then what I'm going to do is surround that or have the wrapper surround a Connecticut broadleaf binder for some sweetness and some lush Nicaraguan fillers to produce a full-flavored, exquisite taste experience. It is a beautiful cigar, and those of you that are members of the Officers Club, they are coming your way. Medium to full-flavored cigar, but very, very smooth. Just a nice bit of sweetness between the Connecticut broadleaf and the Brazilian Matafina wrapper. Coming your way, three different sizes. If you are not a member of the Cigar Dave Officers Club every month, if you become a member, you get three fantastic cigars shipped in an Officers Club pouch directly to you. It's wonderful. There's no long-term commitments. If you like a variety of tastes, the Officers Club is perfect. If you only want mild-bodied or only medium-bodied or only Maduro cigars, don't become a member of the Officers Club. But if you want a nice variety, expand your palate, expand your taste horizons, go to CigarDave.com right now. Sign up, $22.95 per month. You will get the latest and greatest in the world of cigars. We welcome back Glenn Loop, the Executive Director of the Cigar Rights of America. Glenn, let's talk about the federal regulation. This goes back to initially 2009 when the Family Smoking Prevention Act was signed into law by Barack Obama. And initially, it was only to go after cigarettes. But there was a provision in that act that down the road, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Health and Human Services, should they desire, could then expand this to cigars. They could deem cigars to be part of this act, and it didn't take very long. About 5 years later, Obama went right after it, and that's when it was signed into law, trying to remember the name of the secretary, Catherine Sebelius, signed that. Basically, tell us the whole process, how that worked, and how we got to where we are today.
Well, they originally threatened to regulate cigars almost 12 months after President Obama, signed the Tobacco Control Act. I mean, it didn't take long at all to start posting the threats, and that's what they were, threats. To regulate going back to 2010, 12 months after the act was signed. So that's when the proactive measures to engage Congress really began with Congressman Posey and Congresswoman Castor. And now over the course of the last 8 years, over 289 members of the House of Representatives have voiced support for that type of an exemption. But I'll never forget it. It was like 9 o'clock on a May morning in Indianapolis. We were doing the cigars and doing a consumer drive with the National Rifle Association in Indianapolis, and we woke up to the deeming rule being posted out. And I call it, Velcro politics. Throw everything against the wall and see what sticks. And they threw everything in the book at us. They went to great pains to, like I said earlier, to equate a great cigar with a pack of cigarettes and their obsession with nicotine. It was a disastrous moment because we thought there would be some type of mitigated approach to cigars at that time. Then the final rule came out, and they kept it intact. And that's just been the modus operandi for this agency from the beginning. You called it best in our last segment, you know, incremental prohibition. No, we're not going to ban your product, but we're going to make it so bloody difficult for you to produce it, too expensive for you to comply, that you're going to wish you were out of the business. That's their approach. That's the regulatory approach. And in that period of time, I think we've worked to get our message across as to why we should be treated differently. And we can chat about this, but the first gift, if you will, from the Trump administration was reopening a public comment purely on the question of premium handmade cigars. And that came about for one reason and one reason only. We worked with the Senate delegation that's supportive of our cause. And during Dr. Gottlieb's confirmation process, they worked to get that message across that if you get this job, something different has to be done for premium cigars. Reopening that comment and then us filing that comment on July 25th of last year, 529 pages of data on how we are different and unique from a health perspective, a youth access question, demographics, usage, was really the grandest opening volley gift that the Trump administration could have granted us.
And that was Marco Rubio. We played the audio where he was very, very vociferous and very vocal about exactly that cigars need to be on a different track, and Gottlieb understood that. And what's interesting is Dr. Scott Gottlieb, who is the head of the FDA, Commissioner of the FDA, on August 16, 2012, in the New York Post, he wrote an op-ed entitled BAM's Cigar Trouble, where he basically said that the deeming of cigars really was excessive, and that it's really enjoyed by adults. I mean, all the points that the industry makes, and he basically said that it's ridiculous.
He said there should be higher priorities.
Absolutely. And then Scott Gottlieb gets in, and to a degree, there wasn't too much movement. There was a little concern, correct?
Well, that's right. And, you know, I think that Mitch Zeller, head of the Center for Tobacco Products, is still driving this train to a large degree.
Is the Trump administration now is running – the administration is in charge. With the victor go the spoils. So you now have a Trump appointee as the Secretary of HHS, the Commissioner of the FDA. How is it that a bureaucrat, and it's kind of like the deep state, he's a deep state bureaucrat and a definite zealot, that's why I call him Mitch Zealot. How is it that this Mitch Zeller is allowed to drive the bus? I don't understand that.
Well, we're asking ourselves that same question. I mean, on the one hand, we're thankful that the public comment period was reopened on premium handmade cigars. We are also thankful, and this is really the second good positive piece of the puzzle from the Trump administration, is that just before the holidays, the president's unified regulatory agenda was issued, and it put cigar questions really on a long-term status. Well, that shows that they're not really in a hurry to clobber us with a lot of new rules or implementation of existing pieces of the regulatory process, but it still leaves that looming cloud over the industry's head, and that's what needs to go away. You've mentioned some of them, but really the most disastrous piece of this puzzle right now that affects the market of premium handmade cigars is that process of substantial equivalence and pre-market approval. It's ridiculous that the great manufacturers that support your show and support this industry, if they change the wrapper, the binder, or the filler on a cigar, that they would have to go through some excruciating and expensive federal approval process before they could ever put that all-natural product on the shelf. And that's got to go. If there's no chemical manipulation of the product, no intentional manipulation of nicotine, which, as you and I know, is an absolutely ridiculous, preposterous thought, it's all about flavor and enjoyment. If you get a unique tobacco afforded to you by some of our, you know, tobacco growing friends and say, listen, this tobacco has been sitting in our warehouse for 20 years. We think it would make a unique cigar. It's all natural. It's been aged. Let's make a great cigar out of it. No, the bureaucrats are saying you have to go through this excruciating federal approval process before you could ever put it onto the market. It could cost seven digits just to go through the process, much less the legal fees and the consulting fees and the testing fees and on down the line. Again, they're not banning it, but they're making it bloody difficult to ever put a new cigar on the shelf.
Yeah, it really is incredible. And not only if a manufacturer comes out with a cigar, a new blend, for example, if they have eight sizes, it affects every one of those eight sizes. And they don't even, my understanding, Glenn, and correct me if I'm wrong, there is not a method. The FDA now requires for cigarettes, and they want it for cigars, where every chemical within a cigarette or a cigar must be tested. So you have an ingredients list. Now, we know it's 100% cigar tobacco. That's it. But they now want it tested for various components and chemicals. My understanding is it doesn't even exist. This machinery and testing equipment doesn't exist for the cigar industry.
It doesn't. And we've got this looming deadline of November of this year before testing is supposed to be done on all these cigars. You nailed it when you said it's by SKU. It's by size. If a cigar comes in five different sizes, that's five different applications, which is absolutely absurd. That clearly needs to go away. The testing mandate needs to go away. The pre-market approval of new blends needs to go away. I read the requirements for the environmental impact statement that a cigar manufacturer would have to file, and you would think we're trying to license a new coal-fired power plant with the stuff that would be required to submit to the agency. So you think about much less the larger manufacturers that we're all familiar with, but think about those that are just a few blocks from your house. Those in Ybor City on 7th Avenue, you think about Yanko there at Tabacanero, right next door, Odelma, La Ferrana, I hope I pronounced it right. But two rollers, five rollers, seven rollers at any given time, making a blend a day, a blend a week. How would small entrepreneurs like that ever comply with this type of federal mandate? And that's our message to that Senator Rubio and Senator Scott and the rest of the Florida delegation need to carry to the Trump administration.
Well, the good news is that Senator Rubio has been very, very proactive. And there's been other senators as well that have been active. And this really is a bipartisan effort because there are Democrat and Republican members of the House and Senate that have signed on to this. And I know that this bill has been reintroduced in every single congressional session. Where does it stand now, Glenn? We've got the sponsors, but it doesn't seem to get that final oomph whereby the FDA cannot use any of their funds to regulate cigars.
Well, and first of all, before I answer that, I want to mention somebody like Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, who's probably got three or four cigar shops in the entire state, who's become an amazing champion for this cause and really added a bipartisan element to Senator Rubio's messaging. But the heart of your question is very valid. This legislation has served as a mouthpiece, as a platform for communicating our message to the administration, both Obama and to the Trump administration. We've come dangerously close. After the first year of this, we hit the magic number of 221 working majority of the House of Representatives last year.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call them at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
They have no clue, and they're not really in tune, because to them, they go in, they get their favorite cigar, and that's it. But all of a sudden, if people say, hey, wait a minute, how come I can't get that cigar that I love? How come that cigar that used to cost me $7 now costs me $10? These are items that a consumer eventually, it'll catch up to them. So where does I know there's a lawsuit going on. Where exactly does that stand?
Well, the lawsuit was originally filed in 2016. We had our first hearing in December of 2017. And in May of 18, Judge Amit Mehta of D.C. Circuit Court issued a stay on the implementation of the warning label requirement on cigar boxes, which is one of the most absurd pieces of the regulatory puzzle. You look at the front of a carton of cigarettes, there is no warning label. Yet this requirement would put 30% on the top of those ornate artisan cigar boxes, 30% of the top, 20% of the front, 20% of the inside of a cigar box. So we were sitting there in federal court when this occurred. And frankly, the timing could not have been more perfect. The judge basically looked out and said, so let me get this right. You're going to reopen the comment period on these regulations, and you might change them, but yet we're supposed to force this industry to comply with millions of dollars worth of packaging changes requirements when you might change them. And that was a magical moment in our entire process. And subsequently, the judge issued a stay on the implementation of that piece of the rule. Subsequently, this week, there has been appeals filed to advance this stay. There's also going to be litigation that I don't want to chat about too much, but that will be filed regarding those testing requirements that are looming over the industry's head in November. So our litigation team is working feverishly to use the courts, to use the negotiations with the FDA and the Justice Department to mitigate the worst parts of this regulation. It's an expensive part of the process, but that stay alone saved this industry millions of dollars in packaging changes. But we need to institutionalize it. We need to make it permanent. We need to have the Trump administration get rid of that substantial equivalence and pre-market approval requirement. We need to have the Trump administration modify this approach to the warning labels. We need to have the Trump administration get rid of these absurd testing requirements. And that's part of the messaging now to specific parts of the administration that is really the obsession coupled with using Congress to serve as our mouthpiece for those agenda items.
And that substantial equivalent requirement, let me explain that very quickly to our alphas that are listening and connoisseurs. That means that a cigar manufacturer, if they come up with a new blend, has to be able to prove that the blend is similar in every way, shape, or form to an existing blend. Well, good luck with that. Everything, there's nuances and changes. Essentially, that would eradicate any new cigar blends coming out. So if some sort of new cigar wrapper, a hybrid wrapper, was created, manufacturers would not be allowed to use that. It is absurd. That's like telling a vineyard, a winery, any of your new wines have to be exactly like your old wines. You can't create a new blend, even if it is the same grape, but grown in a different farm with different climate. You could not release that to the market, and it is absurd. We will wrap it up, the final concluding segment, with Glenn Loop, Executive Director of the Cigar Rights of America, and this edition of the Cigar Dave Show comes your way next.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club selection this month is Herrera Esteli Brazilian Maduro. This cigar from Drew Estate has a floral and earthy Brazilian Matafina Maduro wrapper that surrounds a sweet Connecticut broadleaf binder and lush Nicaraguan fillers that together produce a full-flavored, exquisite experience. Want these cigars shipped directly to you each month? Log on to CigarDave.com to join the Officers Club.
Hi, this is Rocky Patel. If you're a beginner, or if you just enjoy a great mild cigar,
like I do, in the morning. I suggest you try the Vintage 99. This 7-year-old Connecticut wrapper delivers a creamy, mild, smooth flavor. It's very, very balanced on your palate, and it absolutely is delightful. Tons of flavor, a perfect draw, and an incredible ash. This cigar is smooth. It will entice you to enjoying more and more of the Vintage 99s. It's just a nice, great, balanced, smooth cigar. Look for it, the oldest Connecticut shape in the market today. I'm Rocky Patel, and I promise you, nobody works harder than we do to make you a great quality cigar. Come visit us at rockypatel.com.
Surgeon General warning, cigar smoking can cause cancer and heart disease.
The Cigar Dave Show is available 24/7, 365 via the Cigar Dave mobile app for Android, iPhone, as well as Amazon Kindle. You don't need to be in front of a radio. You just need to have your mobile device ready to go. And you can listen to me take on the enemies of pleasure, talk about the alpha male good life as we talk cigars, spirits, diversions, grilling, everything associated with the alpha male good life. So go download the Cigar Dave mobile app today, presented by Diamond Crown. And you can listen to the show live noon to 2 Eastern time anywhere around the world. And as soon as the show is done, we run a continuous loop. The show is also available on demand, also our Twitter feed, Facebook feed, and the ability for you to record a message and send it directly to us. So go right now, if you've got an Android, an iPhone, or the Amazon Kindle, go and download the Cigar Dave mobile app presented by Diamond Crown. Never miss a minute of a Cigar Dave show with the Cigar Dave mobile app.
Don't go anywhere. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. Just 1 more minute until Cigar Dave returns. Your five-star general is back in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, our guest in the waning moments of this edition of the Cigar Dave Show. Glenn, we talked about the federal regulations. There's about 13 states right now that have some sort of state taxation or regulation. We talked about Hawaii. They want to raise the tobacco purchasing age eventually to 100. But let's talk about some of the other states very quickly, the key states.
Very quickly, Arizona, which has a huge concentration of retail tobacconists, has a Senate bill that would bring about a public referendum that would increase the tax on cigars by 43%. Colorado, a ban on smoking in cigar shops, as well as a piece of legislation that would give local governments greater control than the state over tobacco ordinances. Connecticut, a positive bill that would expand the number of cigar bar licenses available in the state. negative bill that's always introduced in Florida, but you never know when it's going to get any political traction, is the proposed ban on beach smoking, or allow local governments to regulate that. A positive bill in Hawaii that would bring about a 50-cent tax cap, and that similar bill has been introduced in the state of Nebraska. There's a tax increase proposal in Iowa. There's a proposal that would allow cigar shops in Maine to serve alcohol, which always is a good thing. As well as a bill, and you'll love the bill, it might be a reason to go to North Dakota, a bill to allow for cigar bars in North Dakota. I would go out to North Dakota for a cigar bar if they opened one.
I like that. Real quickly, Glenn, in 15 seconds, cigarrights.org, how much does it cost to join?
$25, new rate, $25. Cigar Dave, we can't thank you enough for your support. And all this legislation is on our website. The petitions make it easy. Put in your name and zip code, and we take care of the rest.
We've got a link at CigarDave.com. You should all join. Fight for your rights to enjoy cigars. Glenn Loop, Executive Director, CRA. We appreciate you joining us. Cigar Dave, the General, say Mayor Humidor always be full. Mayor Cutter always be sharp. Mayor Ashby, extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. And screw the enemies of pleasure. And screw...
This is Terry Oxley, Pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. We are living in a prophetic time when the insolent will rule and the morally corrupt will make the laws of the land. The young, who have not been taught right from wrong and whose minds have been poisoned, will lead those who are being deceived. People will sink into despair, and the eyes of their understanding will remain blind to the only way of escape. Only through a saving relationship with Jesus Christ will they find the peace they are seeking. It's vital you attend a church that will help you learn how to apply God's Word in your everyday life while living in this world. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Tuesday of the month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. Hi, I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors.